Got you.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How you doing?
Okay. I'll only be able to stay on 30 minutes, so.
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Right now you're the only one, so let's wait a minute to
Okay.
see if somebody else has thought before we start.
Okay.
Let's get going because there is a lot of material, of course. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa is the love. The letters are the roads between the stages. One metaphor to relate to this idea is to view a road map of the United States. The Sephirot are the places of interest on the map that we want to see or visit. The letters are the routes to get there. There are places to visit along the routes as well as the places that we've already planned to visit. Yet each place we stop along the route is marked by a dot, while the routes are marked by the map by lines. What is a line? It's a series of dots connected to each other. This Mishnah, as every Mishnah we have studied, opens with the Sefer, the phrase, Eser Sefirot Lima. Let us learn to use a repetitive sound technique of these sounds. Eser Sefirot Bulima. 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 And over and over and over yet once more. This technique was used by the author of the Shulchan Aruch, who most people consider not a Kabbalist, and most people consider a very wise man, a sage, for his ability to write down all of the halachot in one location. The written halakha . But this technique was actually used by Joseph Karl, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, to bring forth his Magid, his higher self. Joseph Karl is not thought of as a Mekubal, yet he was a Mekubal. When connecting to his Magid, he wrote the Sefer, Magid Mishnadim. He used this phrase as his repetitive sound to start. Then he went into another Mishnah that came from the Talmud. Using the verse or phrases or groups of phrases from a Mishnah is a well-known technique taught for thousands of years to connect to your higher self, to your Magid. Remember that word Mishnah has the same letters as neshama, soul. And all of the verses in chapter 1 of the Sefer Yetzirah are called Mishnayot. There is an ancient technique to use in the chapter 1 of the Sefer Yetzirah, or each verse of chapter 1, as a repetitive sound connection. This is better known by the Eastern term mantra. I personally do not like to use this word, as I do not know if the source is free of idol worship. I choose to call this a repetitive sound technique. The technique is described in the writings of Rabbi Chaim Vital in the fourth parak, the fourth chapter, of the Gate of Kedusha, the Gate of Holiness. Feel free to experience this by doing it. There is one caution. Do not do this with your intellect. Only when you do not seek will you be able to see. Only when you stop will you be able to go. The wise will be able to understand. Using each verse by itself will send you to a different location, a different world. Using all of chapter 1 will send you to a different location from the other individual verses. Each of you will experience something different than what others will experience. This is due to your individual perceptions of that world. This is how Hashem created the system of spiritual worlds. You can also use phrases from within each verse as a technique, and a phrase will send you to a different world than the Mishnah will send you. And the whole chapter one will send you to a different world than each of the Mishnayot. Let us take a look at the gematria of the phrase Eser Sefirot Lima. Using the gematria, which is very much a logical orientation, makes connections that we would not otherwise achieve. Starting with the logical approach is starting with our consciousness. The repetitive sound technique takes us to a place where we connect to our unconscious. And then we return as we focus on the repetitive sounds that we are making. We return back to our consciousness. We will discuss this at length after we go through the gematriot. Let us look at the gematria of these three words as well. Eser has a gematria of 570. 570 is 57 times 10. By now you should relate to the number 57. We speak of it every time we do the Anabakoa. It is the Hebrew word Zan, Zion Nun. It is Parnassah. It is sustenance. The word Eser has the meaning of the number 10. 10 represents a complete structure or a part su. Zan times 10 is a complete structure, a part su of sustenance. Other words that have a gematria of 570, tithing, Eser, as well as 10, Eser. Erish, couch, a bed, also Malchut, as beds are known to be Malchut. Jacob sat on his bed to bless Manasseh and Ephraim. Shirah, burning up evil. She'ar, a gate, an entrance. Burning coitus, used as a repetitive sound to stop masturbation. Ra'ash, quaking, shaking, quivering, an earthquake. Rasha, a wicked man, or injustice. Lishamor, to guard. Shekel Sehor, pure intelligence. The word Melech has a gematria of 570 when we use the final letter value for the Kaf. Melech means king. The word Lemech, or the name Lemech, the son of Methuselah, the grandson of Hanoch, the father of Noah. The meaning of the word of the name is humble teaching, or to teach humbleness. The tribe of the children of Israel named Naphtali has a gematria of 570. Eser, the second word is Sefirot. Sefirot has a gematria of 756. Sefirot is the meaning of the plural word for Sefirah. Other words with the gematria of 756. Shanot, years. Transmutation, changing the physical to something else that is physical. Olamim, worlds and ages. The gematria includes the final mem value. The spelled out letter Nun, Nun Vav Nun Sofit, also means fish as well as the letter Nun, again using the final Nun value. The third word in the phrase, Blima, it's one word or it's two words. You should know the meaning by now, without what. The gematria of what, the second part of the word. What is a question word. The value is 45, the same as Adam, the primordial first man. Gematria of Bli is 42. This should be very meaningful to you by now. It also has the meaning of my heart. The gematria of both words as one is 87. 87 is the gematria of Anochi, which, when it's spelled with the missing vav, Anochi is the word I when applied to a humble personage like Moshe or Hashem. In the Torah, Anochi is the word is only used when applied to Hashem or Moshe. Other words with the gematria of 87. Lavana, the moon. It also means the pale one. Zemam, to think, to plan, to devise, a purpose, a plan. The word pez, pure gold. Kabbalah sees this as a code for desire to receive. Ani Hashem, I am God, as a gematria of 87. The next word in the Mishnah translates as to see from a distance. The root of this word is used with the concept of Mashiach. The modern Kabbalists teach us not to use it as it always puts the Mashiach off into the future. From a distance. What do the Sephirot look like? They appear in a flash and then are gone, just like lightning. Lightning is not seen close up. At least we hope we see lightning from a distance. We see in a flash of lightning and then it is gone. And we see its aftermath on our retina. This is what the Mishnah is telling us to expect to see. Why do I need to be told to expect to see anything? Things that are afar off can only be brought close through expectations. This is continuing what we spoke about, oscillating consciousness. See something, it is gone. Expect to see it again. It returns. What is it? What I expect to see. See it again. Each time it is closer and more expected. If you read a description of someone seeing a bolt of lightning up close, they describe a total sensorial overload, whereby afterwards they cannot see. They cannot hear. Their systems have shut down. But the last sensation reverberates through their mind due to its intensity. This is the Sephirot when you get close, if you are not expecting them, just as these people did not expect lightning to happen so close. The next part of the Mishnah, Tachlitan, en lachem sof. Do the Sephirot have tachlit? Do they have ends? Are they endless? The answer to both questions is no. Yet the answer is not applicable to a sephirah. These questions are intellectual. I ask you to speak to the sephirot and ask them questions. I ask you to hold a conversation with the sephirot. Is this even possible? Can you talk to lightning? Is this phrase of the Mishnah an oxymoron? On the intellectual level, this is an oxymoron. On the psychic intuitive level, everything exists, and the parameters are both ends and endless. They exist and do not exist, and that is not a conflict, only an essence of what I sense on this level. Knowledge is experience. It is not a conflict. Yet it will overwhelm the intellectual mind. This is why there are some rabbis who are incapable of studying Kabbalah. They cannot shut down the intellect until the intellect is overwhelmed. Then what is left is too frightening to them, or maybe just cannot be described in words, only in pictures, and they have no tools to explain it. So they tell people to not go there. Then they must reincarnate as a dog, a chelev, like a heart, to learn to feel again instead of just to think. The next phrase of the Mishnah, his word is in them. His word in them is running and returning. His word is our code for the word of Hashem. It is the meaning of Torah. It is a code word for Torah. Yet later we call it Amar, not Daber. One is a word, one is saying. Daber means a word. Amar means to say. Saying is a lower level, just like running and returning is a lower level than Seichel. Tenudah. Seichel Tenudah is what we discussed last week. Oscillating consciousness. Running and returning. Are they the same thing? The phrase Ratzo Vashuv is running and returning. It is the same as the concept of Seichel Tenudah, which we learned as oscillating consciousness. There is no synonyms in Hebrew, so there must be a difference. What is that difference? Seichel Tenudah is in the frame of mind. Ratzo Vashuv is in the frame of the angels, in the emotions, in the world of Yetzirah. What does this mean? They are the same thing. One is at one level, and one is at the other level. So they're not the same thing. Therefore, they are not the same, yet they are the same. Run and return, oscillating consciousness. Experience this. Do not understand this. To experience Amar, to experience a word, to experience speaking from the level of the divine is not a relaxed, clear discussion between friends. That is why the Mishnah reminds us of the kisei, of the throne of Hashem. This is a code word for the world of Briah. Yet it is telling us, Briah means creation, yet it is telling us to expect something other than a still small voice within. Remember, the prophet Ezekiel speaks of the still small voice. Yet his friends, the other two prophets, did not see or hear anything, yet were extremely afraid of something. Look through your fear. Look past your fear. Become your fear. to calm your fear. This allows you to hear this still small voice amidst the storm surrounding you. The running and returning continues within your fear. All that I have just read to you is the experience of prophecy. This is what the prophets felt and experienced as best as Rabbi Akiva could describe the intellectual and intuitive differences within the experience. There are significant teachings in the above paragraphs that must be experienced. Experience. Are you willing to experience this? Then do so. You have the tools now. There will be more intellectual process, but experience first. Use the Mishnah as a repetitive sound. See what you will see. Hear what you will hear. Return with what you will return with, and expect to be overwhelmed initially. Then learn to keep your experience to yourself. If you need to ask why this is necessary, you are not using binding by striking in your life sufficiently yet. The Ramach teaches that when we read the prophets, we get an impression that God spoke, and the prophet said, "Yes, sir, I understand." This is a totally false impression. The Ramach says, the prophet would enter a meditative state either through music and or repetitive sound expression, or both. Then he would fall into the prophetic position, which would be followed by silence or sound. The sound would come from his mouth, maybe, or maybe his throat. His students would be sitting around with parchment and pen and write what they heard. Each one heard something different. Later, the prophet might remember what was said, and sometimes he did not. Sometimes he would ask the accompanying angel for an explanation of what he saw. Sometimes he would see it, and sometimes he would not see it. Then someone edited the scroll, and so, putting all the different people's scrolls, what they heard, what they had written down on the scrolls, they put them together into one scroll. Then someone edited the scroll, and someone else would put this into what is in our Bible and Torah. This was done by the men of the Great Assembly. In essence, we need to interpret what is being said to us by the prophet using the same technique. He did not see clearly, except for Moshe. We do not see clearly, except our intuitive knowledge. Do what is right, and you will become righteous. Rabbi Chaim Vital explains these things in his third gate of Kedushah. Every mind is a veil, for when we see through our minds, it is not clear, it is veiled. Perceptions of the mind come through the effects of our human senses, which are designed to conceal. You all learned this in the first class, yet you still do not use this information in your life. Your unconscious mind does not get its information through a filter of mind. It gets its information directly from the world of Atzilut. Yet we cannot perceive the world of Atzilut directly. Where do the Sephirot exist? I, the world of Atzilut. In the world of Atzilut. They are the world of Atzilut. So the unconscious presents the experience of Atzilut as an image that is through the senses of the human body. In other words, it lowers itself to be perceived through a veil. What you see, what you sense, what you perceive is all false, always false, because it's coming through the veil of your mind. You have all heard of the Book of Hanukkah. Some of you have read an English translation of this book. The book speaks of the Hekalot, a palace or palaces. What is the definition of a palace? It is a world. It is a place where my mind can travel and experience and bring back that experience. This is a palace. It is not a set of walls with gold and jewels and other wealth of this world. It is a special perception of the mind. Now, where does this palace exist? Some say in Alpha Centauri. Some say in another galaxy like the Pleiades group of stars. All right, let's go there and find out. All I have to do is send a robotic spaceship, since that is cheaper than taking my body with me. Of course, I cannot be sure that it is sending me a complete and accurate picture of what is there. It only shows me one view at a time. Perhaps the palace moves to not show up on my camera view. So what do I do? What is the most efficient way of to get there? Send my mind there. How do I do that? You know how to do that now. How can you bring that back to other people and prove things to them? Do you need to do this, or can you just teach them how to get there themselves? This is the most efficient system. This is the system devised by Hashem. That is why it is important in our generation to learn how to utilize these techniques of mind over matter. This will feed the hungry. This will shelter the homeless. This will remove the conflicts of the world. Please try these techniques. Eventually, someone will be able to draw, to show, to describe a picture of what they see. Why has this not been true up to now? It has. The periodic table that we study in chemistry was a picture brought back from a palace. The scientist involved said he saw the periodic table in a dream. He brought back the picture from a palace. The drawings of Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci are all drawings that come back from a palace. Then bright, smart, egotistical men build these things, sometimes 100 years later. They build these things instead of using them to travel with their minds. Now let's have a quick discussion of what happens to a prophet when he is prophesying. Each prophet would see what he would see at his level of consciousness. Moshe saw Hashem and what he said clearly. Every other prophet saw what he saw through a veil, the veil of his perceptions. This is because he was unable to see what he was shown directly. He needed to see it through a veil, since it was so overwhelming. Prophecy is not a normal comfort zone. It is not quiet meditation. In fact, meditation is not meant to be quiet. The prophets would do what they would do, and then they would, for the most part, become overwhelmed. Once overwhelmed, they lost control of their bodies. They also frequently lost control of their minds. Not in the negative sense, but in the sense of being overwhelmed, of the senses needing to shut down. This is the term Ratzovashu. This refers to this loss of control also. When they return to their mind and body control, but not fully return, they had an angel who they could turn to and ask, "What did you see? What is the meaning of what I did see?" These terms, Ratso Vashu, are metaphors for two angels, the angel Metatron and Sandalphon. Some people call him Sandal. The gematria of Ratso Vashu is 611, which is the same gematria as the Torah, the word Torah. The Torah consists of the written and the oral laws, two different levels. The Torah consists of two levels, the rational and the irrational. The prophet would see what he would see, and then turn to one of these two angels, which were standing next to him, and ask, "What does it mean?" The angel would explain it to him in terms that he was able to understand. This has been true for the prophet. It is still true for the level of the Talmid Chacham, who went into astral travel. They had guides. That is one of the indications that where you go in your meditations is still the earthbound planes, when there is no guide. Let us learn a little bit about Metatron. He is an amalgamation of the human being Hanoch ben Yered, who walked with God, and the race of angels called the Chayot, who live in the world of Bria. Metatron brings the message, the energy, down. He is also called the angel of God and the man of war. Nobody in a physical body can understand what the word amalgamation implies in this discussion. Let us learn a little bit about Sandalphon. He is an amalgamation of the race of angels called Wheels and Eliyahu Hanavi, who is a composite of four different men, Nadav, Avihu, the sons of Aaron, the high priest, and Pinchas, ben Eleazar, ben Aaron. The fourth person is called Eliyahu Tishbi, and is written about in the book of Kings, or Samuel. I forget which one. Again, the word amalgamation is not well understood at this level. Sandalphon is the world of Yetzirah. Sandalphon takes it up from the lower world, while Metatron brings it down. We don't say Metatron at night, because Metatron isn't a Hebrew word, it's Greek, and it's connected to the negative system. Why do we call this angel Metatron? Many people confuse him with the angel Michael. Memtet is the way we refer to him. This information is necessary for you when you study the Book of Prophets. It is necessary when you meet your higher self in your astral travels. Always remember to leave your body at home and keep the golden thread connected. We will talk more about this in later classes. The gematria of the first letters of this Mishnah is 317. You remember this technique of the first letters? 317 is 314 plus 3. 3 is the kolel, or each letter of the name Shaddai, which has a gematria of 314. Remember, the name of God, Shaddai, is the attribute of God that says, "Enough, to the universe, to the creation. Shaddai initially sets boundaries, which is the Hebrew word "die," enough. We sing the song, "Die, die, enu, die, die, enu, die, die, enu, die, enu, die, enu." We sing this on Passover, setting boundaries. Boundaries work in two directions. They keep things in, and they keep things out. This Mishnah is a connection to the Torah, to the name Shaddai, to the boundaries that do not exist within or without of the Sefirot. Lastly, the number 317 is 231 plus 86. 86 is the name Elohim, the name used in creation and natural development, a nature. 231 is the number of gates that we will explain later in this book of Sefer Yetzirah. It is the number of two-letter combination, two letters that create sounds. These gates will be discussed later in this book of Sefer Yetzirah. They will be discussed as part of building and creating a golem. The section of astrology for this morning. Five of the inner planets go retrograde. The sun and the moon do not go retrograde. What does it mean to go retrograde? The moon nodes will answer that shortly. The moon nodes deal with reincarnation and life lessons, knowing which is your north node and which is your south node, which are always connected to each other as opposites, as the levels of the Sefirot. Chesed and Gevurah are connected to each other. They're mirror images of each other, and they're balanced through Tiferet, the central column. Netzach and Hod are mirror images of each other. They connect with each other. They're always together. And they're balanced by Yesod, the central column. Keter and Malchut are mirror images of each other. This is one way to perceive, to understand, to run and return in your discussion of the Sefirot. You should realize the connection of the five to the worlds. Why are there five inner planets that go retrograde? Because there's five worlds. And the five worlds are connected to the four phases and to the tree of life. The Chet Keter Chachma Bina, Zeron Pin and Malchut, yet all of the five retrograde planets are relative planets. Everything is relative to something else. This is what makes retrograde planets so difficult to utilize in an astrological reading. Retrograde periods of time relate to ratso vashu, run and return. As during a retrograde, the planet is bringing the person and the world back to an earlier time period. This earlier time period has unfinished business. In Hebrew astrology, this unfinished business relates to the periods of Teshuvah. We will discuss more of this over the rest of these classes. We have a few minutes left. I could go on talking about Vashu, Ratzo Vashuv, and their metaphors. I could go on talking about running and returning, and what does it mean in our own lives. There are many unsaid metaphors I haven't expressed. They need to be experienced. Seikel Tenuda, Ratzo Vashuv. They're the same thing, and they're not the same thing. If they were the same thing, they'd have the same Hebrew word. Understand the difference. Understand the similarity. Experience the difference. Experience the similarity. Are there any questions?
No, Hanos. Did you hear me?
It's good to hear. Yeah, I did. Thank you. I appreciate it. Just for announcements. Number one, I will be sending out the recording from last night. The handout will have the recording from last night as a link on it. So you'll be able to both read and hear the revealment of what was discussed last night. This is the possibility of peace in the Middle East, the possibility that we have the obligation to manifest. The energy potential exists in the year, in the name of the year. It can happen. It will happen, providing we do something. Not something major, not starting a brand new movement to control the world. Doing something means changing yourself. We discussed this last night as we discussed all of the different attributes and potential energies that will occur in the next year. It's recommended that people who hear these classes read or listen to this recording. It's important that you become aware. It's been revealed. Therefore, it's open. It's known. It's your obligation to find out about it. And then to choose to do something or not. That's what free choice is all about. Today's classes, there will be a class at 5:30. The second class, it's a basic class. It's the second class of binding by striking. We all need reviews of binding by striking, because binding by striking is a tool that is a lifetime learning. You're welcome to listen to the class. You're welcome to receive the recording and listen to it that way. Tonight at 8:30, we start a class that is the first class in a series. We just finished the teaching of the four phases in this class. Now we're moving on to the Esser Sefirot, Rabbi Ashlag's explanation. I don't want to say it's an explanation. Rabbi Ashlag's teaching of the Tree of Life. It's a very powerful series of classes that is also a lifetime learning. We're going to start, for the first time, I'm going to be teaching the introduction, which is considered the highest level of Kabbalah teaching ever put to paper. Rabbi Ashlag indicated that he was a Gilgul, a reincarnation of the Ari, and that he only came in this lifetime as Rabbi Ashlag to assist us in understanding the teachings of the Ari. For the last 400 years, the Ari's teachings were studied but not understood. It is only by studying what Rabbi Ashlag teaches us through his Esser Sefirot, it's only by studying this level that we begin to touch the potential of the teachings of the Ari. Tuesday at 8:30, I should say that that's tonight, Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Tuesday at 8:30 p.m., we have the 20th class in our series of Advanced Reincarnation. Thursday night at 10 p.m., we have the class on the Zohar. We'll read and explain a section of the Zohar. Saturday night at 10 p.m., we do the same thing. We explain the Zohar because it's the first opportunity you have in the new week, Motzi Shabbat, to connect to a spiritual task. Next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., we will begin our 7, 8, 9 weeks of the preparation of Teshuvah, of the high holiday period of 22 days that needs to be understood in a unity. It's good that we bring this into discussion on this holiday of Tu B'Av, this holiday of unity, this holiday that removes separation in every aspect of the world, this holiday where we perceive opposites as unified. Are there any questions? It is now 6 o'clock in LA. Those of you who need to go to work, have a beautiful day. Those of you who are returning to sleep, have a beautiful sleep until you have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Shalom, you all.
Hello.
Bye-bye.